to Disney A, the Canadian-themed Disney travel podcast. We're your hosts, and I'm Krista.
And I'm Brandon.
So on today's show, we're chatting about some recent news, and also our main segment will be At the Park. We are going to be picking our favorite Disneyland attractions in each land, specifically of the Disneyland Park. I know. So first of all, before we get started, Brandon, what are we drinking tonight?
Well, on our last episode, you might have heard us talking about the Pass Beer Company.
Yes, our local beer brewery.
Well, we got a growler, and we are still drinking Essential Blonde.
Yes.
It's a lot of beer.
It is a lot of beer.
But cheers to that.
You know what? Also, we're Canadian, so we kind of have to be drinking a lot of beer. I think it's they kind of revoke your citizenship, I think, if you don't like beer.
Yay.
Yes, yay. So also at the top of every show, I kind of thought it would be kind of fun if we talked about a nerdy thing that we were each super into, like not necessarily a big thing, but just something that's like really grabbing us this week. Right. So, since this is something we didn't do our first episode, so we're just kind of getting started. I thought I'd start. So meanwhile, you can think what's a nerd thing you're liking.
Well, what isn't a nerd thing?
Right. Okay. So I'm going to go. I'm not saying the word obsessed.
She's saying the word obsessed.
I am highly interested and I'm slightly obsessed with Animal Crossing's New Horizons came out at the perfect time for, everyone being at home. For COVID in the spring, and I've been slightly obsessed, ever since then. The Halloween update came out, and there are pumpkins everywhere, and all of these fantastic little items, and it's making me super happy, and I may be Disney-bounding all my Halloween, I might be Disney-bounding and dressing up for Halloween, my character, like, every day. I may or may not be putting her in Hamilton sweaters and making her look like Minnie Mouse, or Belle is another one of my favorite.
Or Wendy.
Or Wendy. Yes, I have a whole Wendy outfit.
Other
yes
Disney so, characters.
That is my current nerd thing.
And if you're really interested in Animal Crossing, we will post our dream code to our island.
Totally.
And you can come visit us.
Absolutely. And you can see how happy that is making my little nerd heart right now.
I, on the other hand, am in a different electronic genre. I am eagerly looking forward to the pre-patch for the next World of Warcraft expansion coming out on Monday. Krista is kind of sad to see me go.
I know, I'll miss you dearly.
Yeah, it obsession is a good word for that.
You're not in denial about your obsession.
Digital crack is another. Yeah, it's a problem, but we're gonna take it as we come.
Right. At least you are not in denial about your obsession. I may be in slight denial.
Just a little bit. Yeah.
So at the top, another thing we're gonna do at the near the top, I guess, of every show is we're gonna talk about like a current Disney news item.
Yeah, whatever current news is grabbing us and it seems important at the time.
Disney A news update. So there's, which is interesting for the Disneyland itself not being open. There's actually been a fair bit of Disney news lately. You're going to take this one. And I understand that you are going to talk about, it was just announced that a particular movie was coming to Disney Plus in the near future.
Yes. So like you say, there's lots of Disney park news. We're not going to talk about that this week.
Yep.
But with the world in flux the way it is, movies haven't been hitting theaters.
Right.
The biggest release this year kind of fizzled out. People just don't want to be trapped inside a dark, enclosed room when there's a plague.
Right. With strangers? Really?
No. Weird. I understand. Unfortunately.
I understand that.
So, the big news this week is that the new Pixar film, Soul, is going to be released on Disney Plus Christmas Day. This is important in a couple different ways. It's going to make them eligible for the Oscars next year.
So cool.
Which is very going to be a very interesting time. We're big cinephiles.
Right.
And we watch the Oscars every year.
And every Oscar nominee for any of the major categories.
We try to watch every single Best Picture nominee, best actor, best actress, whatever.
Yeah.
We want to be involved in what the critics, the Academy.
Totally.
Everyone thinks is the high quality movies.
Totally.
Disney wants Soul. Disney was always positioning Soul as to be their Oscar bait animated film this year.
Mm-hmm.
Onward came out on Disney Plus. We saw it. We thought it was highly underrated.
Oh my god, I loved Onward.
We felt bad for Onward being kind of just shucked onto Disney Plus that way.
So good.
Yeah, it was great. So we're gonna get to be able to watch Soul on December 25th. The countries that don't have Disney Plus may be getting a theatrical release, according to Variety here. That's the plan. And unlike Mulan, it's not going to be a premium type of subscription or anything like that.
That was totally my question.
All Disney Plus subscribers have access, so you don't have to pay extra.
Interesting.
We still haven't seen Mulan because I didn't really feel like paying $30 to see just Mulan. I'll wait till it's free and watch it.
I do want to watch it.
It looks pretty cool, but yeah, anyway.
I do want to watch it, but I don't $30 want
to
watch
so
it.
So that's the big thing. They're trying to push it out for the Oscars next year. And I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's totally interesting. You can tell that's like a very strategic move.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see how the theater industry itself, all these theaters are in dire straits with the pandemic. I've heard Regal Cinemas in the States is just absolutely shutting down.
Really?
They cannot sustain their business anymore. The other big chains in the States, AMC, they are going to stay open. Cineplex in Canada was reportedly had sold themselves to a European company right before the pandemic started.
Okay.
That sale fell through because of the pandemic.
Because pandemic, right.
So I don't know what our theater situation is going to be like going forward.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything about that.
So all of this stuff is very, very fascinating to me.
Right. Well, I mean, we're huge movie nerds. And like you said, we watch, not only do we watch the Oscars, but the Oscars are a big deal.
We'll probably do an Oscars episode when it comes close. We'll pick out who we want to win, who we think are going to win, stuff like that.
Because those are not always the same.
No, they are not. But yeah, other big movies have been postponed. The whole MCU Phase 4 has been pushed back fully. Black Widow is a year from when it was supposed to be.
I know, and that was so close to coming out, right? I know. Finally give me a Black Widow movie, and then they move. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure we will do an episode like that. So it's interesting that this is such a strategic move on their part to be in the Oscar runnings.
And with the subject matter of Soul, it is a timely movie because it is so black focused.
Right. The black stories
done
by actors and I don't know who the writers are or anything.
I don't know a lot about the actual plot. I just know there's a few famous black actors in it, and it's about a jazz singer.
Right.
Which, it's good. It's good to see that representation.
100%. And so very, very timely, and I wonder how that's going to play out. I hope that it gets the recognition it deserves. Mm. And
something Onward, I don't think
I know.
Did get.
That was a sore spot for me. Like
maybe too much Essential Blonde.
Maybe too much Essential Blonde beer. but that was a sore spot for me because when we first watched it, I remember the first thing I said when we were done with Onward was like, I'm so sad that this is not going to get the recognition. So I really hope that Soul does.
Excellent.
That good news item.
Mm.
Okay, so our main that brings us to our main topic. At the park. Okay, so our main topic is we are going to talk about Disneyland itself.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah, that's good.
My favorite park. Yeah. And I know you've been to Disney World.
I have, yes.
And I've been to Disneyland several times.
You have, yes.
And
how many times?
So I was trying
have
to.
Have you been to Disneyland?
I was thinking. I think it's so. This isn't going to sound like a lot to someone who's like a Southern California person.
Keep in mind, she lived in Northern Alberta.
Well, like
for most of her life. Well.
Yeah, we didn't live in igloos or anything like that.
I'm not entirely convinced that's true.
But no, so I grew up in a small farming town, like very small. Mm. Like, I think our population sign said 2,900 and some, and that's a lie. It was smaller than that, and
they counted the tumbleweeds.
They did. There were actual tumbleweeds. I didn't know that was like people thought that was fictional. They were actually tumbleweeds. A small farming town, and I, growing up, was in Disneyland 6 times as a child and a teenager. And it was kind of like I was one of the few people that I grew up with who had ever been. You know, it was like this fictional place. And I was fortunate enough to get to go several times. My family took us a few times. When I was 6 was the first time I went. And then the next time I went when I was 12. And that was actually one of my favorite trips because I was with my grandparents. And that was when my 2 youngest siblings were born. So it was this great, great time. And I have all these fantastic memories. And then I, of course, went when I was older. So in my heart of hearts, I know you love Disney World as well. But in my heart of hearts, Disneyland is like the ultimate place.
Well, as they say, it's the park that Walt built.
It is the park that Walt built, and which is like, you know, it makes it a totally different level.
It does.
So, and plus, it is actually the closest thing we would have to a home park from where we're at, because it's our closest park.
It's closest to us, and it's the only park we've been to together.
That is very true, which I'm also sure we'll talk about.
Yes. So, there you go.
Yes, we will probably have an entire episode just talking about how you horribly, horribly tricked me into going onto Mickey's Wheel of Death.
I feel this is a recurring theme. But anyway.
I feel betrayed. So, let's start with Disneyland.
Okay.
So I thought the easiest way to organize this, because that was my job to organize, would be to go by land. And originally I was going to go alphabetically, and then I decided not to do that. So we're going to just kind of take turns, and we're going to pick our favorite thing in each land of Disneyland. We're not worrying about California Adventure right now, just the original Disneyland park. And it can be an attraction, but it doesn't have to be. So it can be an experience, it can be an attraction, it can be a moment, it can be like a little detail, whatever it is that is your very favorite thing of Disneyland. All right, so we're going to just kind of talk about that. And we'll take turns. So like Brandon's going to go first with Adventureland.
Adventureland. Yeah, that's a good start to start. Mm-hmm. So, my favorite thing in Adventureland, and this might be shocking to you, is the Indiana Jones ride.
I am so shocked. Yeah.
Yes, yes. I loved Indiana Jones growing up, but the Indiana Jones ride, when it was debuted, absolutely everything about it was next level.
Yeah.
The queue, the ride, the theming. Mm-hmm. Everything was absolutely immersive. I still remember going through that queue and like playing with the booby traps and trying to decipher the things on the walls. That theming, which is something you're really interested in.
I'm so interested in theming.
Was absolutely the next level. Do we have Galaxy's Edge? Do we have Harry Potter Land?
Right.
Without that Indiana Jones ride?
No, it totally broke the mold for this.
And the other thing about the Indiana Jones ride is it's scary without being super intense.
Yes.
It's all in your head that it's gonna kill you or whatever, but it's super fun for a thrill seeker like me, but you can take most of the family on it.
Even I could go on that.
Well, yes, even you could go on it, but the height limit isn't super high, and kids can enjoy it, and it's not death defying, but it is still scary. And that's I think a good limit aim for Disney to hit.
Yeah,
it's a perfect Disney ride as far as I'm concerned.
No, that's like a totally good reason. I'm not at all surprised you picked that at all. And like honestly, the first time I remember going on Indiana Jones for the first time, one of our trips, and it like blew my mind. When you go through, like, that's probably the best queue. I'm trying to think of a better queue in the parks, and I can't think of one.
They need more cues like
that. They really do. Like, that was so well thought. There are good cues, but, like, that's next level kind of thing. And, like you said, the theming, I'm a huge fan of. So, you know what? I totally appreciate that. I did not put that down, but I will say, man, do I like Adventureland, because I think I changed my answer for Adventureland 3 times. And I actually didn't pick an attraction. I know what you're See, you can't see Brandon, but he is smiling and grinning because he knows exactly what I'm going to say. I love Dole Whip so much.
I knew it.
So I'm actually very specific in this. My favorite thing is getting a Dole Whip and then wandering over to the lineup for the Jungle Cruise and waiting to go on the Jungle Cruise. Because I couldn't pick both getting a Dole Whip and being on the Jungle Cruise. Because I love Jungle Cruise jokes, the bad puns, so much.
She is a big fan of puns.
I'm such a fan of bad puns that I was trying to combine the taste of a Dole Whip and the sheer joy from a terrible Jungle Cruise pun in my mind. And that was the closest way I could get it. But yeah, I'm going to go Dole Whip on mine. Isn't Adventureland a great land, though?
It is.
Like, I was going through and I was like, oh, no, wait, that's my favorite. Oh, no, wait, that's my favorite.
But we can get to that.
Yeah, so good. So, okay, so after Adventureland, let's go Critter Country.
So you go
ahead. I'm
going to
go first, yeah. And which is pretty pretty significant because I have a tie for my favorite attractions in the whole park. And one of my two favorite attractions in the whole park is in Critter Country, and it's Splash Mountain. Now, what is interesting with this is, of course, we've all heard it's going to go through significant change in the near future. We don't know when that near future may be, but I'm going to stick with my past experiences in the park and say, you know, Splash Mountain is just, as soon as I'm on that ride, I'm, like, giggling and happy and just, like, and hey, there's a little bit of a thrill in there. It's not just me being a huge wuss. But there is, you know, great theming, and I've been on that ride, and you start to go up in the water, and I just start giggling. I'm just so happy that entire trip, and I've got Zippity-Doo-Dah stuck in my head the whole day, and I'm not necessarily disappointed that it's changing or anything like that. I'm very curious with what they're going to do.
I am gonna miss some Zippity-Doo-Dah,
but yeah, though. I'm gonna miss the song if nothing else. I've actually heard that they've taken it out of the playlist in like the Esplanade and Downtown Disney and things like that, so I'm gonna miss a little Zippity-Doo-Dah in my life, you know, because I'm thinking it's a my oh my what a wonderful day. But I'm very curious to see what they're going to do. And yeah, Splash Mountain is like tied for number one on my favorite attractions, so of course I've got to go for Critter Country. As much as I love Winnie the Pooh, and I do love Winnie the Pooh,
I love Winnie the Pooh as well.
All right, I'm gonna go Splash Mountain.
So we're gonna have to agree here.
No way.
You might, spoiler alert, see a little bit of a theme in my list going forward with the mountains, quote unquote. Yeah, Splash Mountain is, again, that perfect mesh of Disney enjoyment, yeah, for totally. The young ones, and some thrills with the big drop and getting wet in the hot California
definitely.
Sun, even in November or whatever it is.
It's not that cold.
It's California.
It's fine. We live in Canada. California is always hot.
And those social arguments aside, I don't think we're in a position to talk about those.
Definitely not.
Yeah, it is what it is, and they've probably made the right choice.
Probably.
In changing it.
I just really hope that I get to ride Splash Mountain original one more time.
It would be nice to just say goodbye to it.
Yeah,
and then they can they can do what they want. But yeah, those arguments aside, it's an incredibly designed ride.
Totally.
The animatronics in there and the story it tells is incredible, especially considering they had to reuse most of those animatronics from a previous ride.
I know. Those animatronics are so old, and they worked them in so seamlessly.
So, and it's great. So yeah, I would like, this is definitely my favorite Critter Country ride. And as an aside, I hope they keep the Splash Mountain name.
I do too.
They can call it Splash Mountain featuring Princess Tiana or whatever they want, but the mountains are an integral part of Disneyland.
When Splash Mountain was named, it was very important that it was named Blank Mountain.
Yes.
Like that's why it was named as it was. So, I told, and I agree, I could be called Tiana Splash Mountain, mm-hmm. or it can be called Princess and the Frog Splash Mountain or something else, but I think it has to be something mountain. So it's Space Mountain, Big Thunder Mountain. I totally agree.
It's got to be a mountain still.
I totally, totally agree. I really hope they do that. Like that was a significant issue when they were naming it in the first place, and I think that would be more true to, well, quite frankly, more true to Walt's vision.
Yes.
He was very serious about things can change and things should change.
Yeah, absolutely. That's totally fine.
But yeah, there's like a spirit of that needs to be the same. So, okay. So Critter Country, we actually agree on something.
We do.
My goodness.
Yes. So
okay.
What's up next?
So next is what I think is like the land, Fantasyland. We're going to Fantasyland.
Okay.
And you're going first.
Okay. Well,
this one, I guarantee you we won't agree.
This one's pretty obvious for me. It's the Matterhorn. This technically straddles Fantasyland and Tomorrowland,
yeah,
but
it
does. It's pretty much Fantasyland,
yeah.
As far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
It's an incredible sight.
It really
dominates the skyline in Disneyland. It's something Walt went out and picked out from the real world.
Literally pointed.
And said, I want that in Disneyland. So you got that. Yeah. And it's the first steel tubular coaster in the entire world,
mm-hmm.
which is a big, important historic milestone for a thrill seeker like me.
Right.
So while it's a little tame by today's standards, it's still very important and
right.
quite a bit of fun.
And it got quite the update recently.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
It's still tame, but...
Yeah, I know. For you.
It's another mountain, and I'm going with the mountains.
You know what? The mountains are calling, and you know, I must go and all that. I actually... One of my favorite things in the past was the cuddling on Matterhorn.
They don't do that anymore. No.
And I'm so glad that the first time we went to Disneyland, we were at Disneyland together. We got to do, that was the last time I got to cuddle with anyone. Thank goodness
right
it was you.
Right before they changed the cars.
Right before they changed the cars. But since you can no longer do that, I'm not at all surprised you said the Matterhorn. I'm probably going to pick your least favorite. My favorite thing in Fantasyland is Small World. Okay, he's shaking his head right now. I love it. And I know the song. But it's like, first of all, Walt did it. And like the, stop shaking your head.
For the World's Fair.
Yeah, but like the idea behind it, whether or not the song drives you crazy, it personally doesn't drive me crazy, but I think that is why I'm such like a positive idealist, honestly. It's just this idea of people coming together, and the song doesn't drive me crazy, and I like the details and the audio animatronics of it, and all, and then at that last scene with everyone in, with all the little doll characters in white, and they're all coming together but still representing their own significant cultures, but they're still coming together in unity. I don't know. I think it's beautiful. I love the topiaries outside. I love the giant clock. I love the design of the outside of that building. That is crazy good. And it just, to me, screams Fantasyland, and I think the only thing more symbolic of Disneyland in general than the castle would be the Small World clock. And
I agree, it does scream Fantasyland, the whole world coming together as one.
But yeah, and I get that, but like there's also that idealist in me, right, where I'm like, that is Fantasy or land or no.
Okay, let's move on
okay.
from Fantasy.
But I love Fantasyland. But let's move a little bit more Old West. I already know what you're going to say to this one. Frontierland, and I'm going to start with this one. And I think we might agree. I'm saying the Big Thunder Mountain.
The wildest ride in the wilderness!
Yeah, the wildest ride in the wilderness. Specifically, being on that ride and turning to see the goat.
Oh, the goat. You got to do the goat turn.
You got to do the goat turn. That's my favorite. It is exciting. I know it's not actually that, like, as far as the roller coaster itself, that thrilling. But there's, you're on it, and it's immersive. And again, to me, the theming is out of this world. And I think it is both exciting and intricate, detailed theming. And that is a perfect Disneyland ride.
Absolutely. And
100%.
You got me again. It's the mountains. I'm about the mountains.
You are about the mountains, which I appreciate.
Big Thunder is not a traditional intense roller coaster that you would find at Six Flags that you'd line up for 2 hours and be happy with your 30-second ride.
That sounds crazy.
It does. Anyway, Big Thunder is Disney.
Yes.
It's themed.
Yes.
And it feels like you're on a mining cart run loose.
Right. It's dynamite going off.
It's absolutely fantastic. It's not... like, if you just had that track in a parking lot somewhere, you wouldn't be like... You'd be like, what is this? But it is super thrilling because of the theming.
Yep. And you know what else I love? I love the fact that there's... Yeah, there's a railway shout-out, which is... I mean, we know Walt's history with railway and stuff
he
like that.
He loved his railroads.
Right? So even though it's not, like, directly tied, it feels so Disney.
It does. And it's a tough balancing act. Totally. That Disney has to do.
Totally.
Big Thunder has a 40-inch height restriction. That's fantastic. You can take pretty much the whole family on it.
When we went, when my little sister was like preschool age, she used to lift like, I don't know, 6 inches off the seat. And I'd like put my hand across to like help hold the bar down with her. She wasn't in any danger of flying out. But it was like she got to ride what she felt was a thrill ride. And I was having just as much fun as she was.
And I think something like that may be more impressive than just building the biggest, tallest giga coaster that you can.
Right. Good pick.
Yeah.
Good pick. And we agree. That's the second one.
Oh, boy.
I know. I didn't think that would happen.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I don't know about this one. Tomorrowland. And you get to go first on this one.
Tomorrowland. The land that is always stuck in the past.
I know.
Kind of.
Ironic.
Which
right.
is weird.
So weird.
They need to do something with Tomorrowland. But
they really do.
This may surprise you, but I'm going to go with another mountain.
Weird.
Space Mountain, again, isn't the most thrilling ride in the world. It's not the biggest, scariest coaster, and it uses its dark interior as kind of a trick to make you think you're in a thrill ride more than the ride is actually thrilling itself. It's not even original to Disneyland. It opened in Disney World first.
I know.
But that...
Just shortly before.
That exterior building is just iconic.
Right.
It's beautiful.
It totally is.
Yeah, that's even better than the ride itself.
I know.
It makes Tomorrowland. Like, it just looks like Tomorrowland. Like, can you imagine Tomorrowland without that building?
Agreed. Okay, so the reason I started laughing, I don't know if you could hear this or not, I literally have written down the architecture of Space Mountain as you turn towards it and first see it. It is that outside building of Space Mountain.
It's beautiful.
And I mean, like, I like Space Mountain, and I'm a huge wuss. Like, that is scary to me. I like Space Mountain. I thought you were going to say Star Tours, honestly.
That was a near runner-up.
I wrote Star Tours, crossed it off, and then wrote Space Mountain, actually the ambiance turning towards it, because it's that outside building and it's futuristic, but it's like classic retro futuristic.
That's what they need to go for.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, we will probably do an entire episode on what they should do in Tomorrowland and what they have tried. And anyway, Tomorrowland needs help, but that's the third thing we agree on.
No, oh, that's kind of weird.
I know. And not only Space Mountain, but the outside building of Space Mountain. It's beautiful. It's fantastic. Okay, let's do something a little trickier now.
I don't know
what you're going to pick.
This is trickier.
I have no idea what you're going to pick for Main Street USA.
Well, you have to go first on this one.
I know, okay. So Main Street USA, I think, is a tricky one for Canadians, right?
In a way, we have a weird relationship with American culture.
We do.
Our culture is so significantly influenced by American culture that we kind of understand it, but it's still a little foreign to us.
Right. Mm. So, like, I know a lot of people who see Main Street USA and are like, that's American. I'm like, that for us doesn't have the same meaning.
Mm.
So, while I, don't get me wrong, I love the midnight shopping Main Street USA.
Oh.
And I mean, I almost wrote down the Dapper Dance. Because I love the Dapper Dance. And I love the little random, you know, like Minnie Mouse showing up and dancing with them. And it's like the little mini shows and stuff like that. But I had to go with Walt's Apartment Light.
Nice.
Yeah, that is what I had to go with. Of course, above the fire hall, the light that's left on for Walt.
That's a lovely little Easter egg.
I had to go with that one.
So, For Main Street USA, my probably actual favorite attraction is waiting for Rope Drop to scurry towards your favorite e-ticket attraction.
Good one.
But I'm going to actually take it something that actually takes place on Main Street.
Yep.
And I agree with you. It's the it's the Dapper Dans.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
They're fantastic.
I love barbershop quartets. No. And the colors and everything, they just scream Disney, and they sprinkle that little Disney magic, that pixie dust, when they just have their little pop-up shows with Minnie or whatever.
Totally.
And it makes Disneyland.
I was wandering around Main Street USA once with my family, and they came out and started singing this old 40s song, and then Minnie Mouse started dancing around, and Mary Poppins, and it was like one of the best moments, honestly.
That's what Disney does best.
That is exactly what Disney does best, and I think that's what Disneyland does best, specifically.
Mm.
So, yeah, great pick. Great pick with Dapper Dans. Okay, now, Mickey's Toontown. Speaking of lands that need a little love.
Do I have to?
You have to. Okay, so Mickey's Toontown. This one, you're going first.
Okay.
I had a trouble picking this one, so good luck with this.
I'm doing this under protest.
Okay.
Toontown is a disaster.
Toontown needs so much work.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Fair.
Was one of my favorite films growing up. I think it's what gave me my appreciation for popular culture in general.
Really? Okay.
I was going through this list, I had to think, like, Toontown, Mickey's Toontown and all this, and I was thinking about what Who Framed Roger Rabbit meant to me. And the fact that they had this film noir with animated characters inhabiting the real world, and this whole like postmodern satire of that, and the fact that they had WB characters, Bugs Bunny, interacting with Mickey Mouse.
Yes.
And it gave me this appreciation for popular culture. And then they made Mickey's Toontown.
Not a fan of Mickey's Toontown.
I'm not a fan of Mickey's Toontown. It's boring. Mm-hmm. It's broken down.
That's my big thing.
And it's a waste of space.
So my big thing is the broken down. Yeah.
There's nothing really good to say about it. But if I was absolutely forced to pick favorite thing in Mickey's Toontown, which I am, it's going to be the Roger Rabbit ride.
Fair.
It's a pretty standard dark ride. Yeah. It's not capturing the heart of the film at all.
No.
Which
is a great film.
It's a fantastic film.
So good.
It is what it is. The one thing I will say is cool. You can control how your car, you can spin your car around.
Which was a very new.
And that's good technology. So they can use that in other places. But yeah, Mickey's Toontown.
It needs so much love.
Just bulldoze it.
No, I don't agree. Okay, so you have a different experience with Toontown than me. While I was too old to fully appreciate Toontown when it opened, I was there actually just shortly after it opened, and I had two little siblings with me. And I actually, when I was going through all our old pictures from Disney before we started this podcast, I found pictures of my little brother jumping around in Goofy's bounce house. And playing with things like that. And you can't even do that anymore.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like,
totally.
Even for little kids now, it's just disappointing.
Yeah. So now I do agree. You go and you ride Roger Rabbit and you do the quick walk around. And hopefully you don't have to wait an hour for Gadget Co. coaster, because it's actually not a bad coaster. And then you're done. But for me, I have a distinct memory of if you time it right and you're there right at the beginning, I have witnessed the characters, while they're waiting for kids to show up, goof around with each other. And I have pictures of, like, Minnie chasing Donald around and Goofy hiding behind things and jumping out and scaring at kids. And just, like, watching kids play with those characters, and, like, it's so seemingly authentic and magical for those kids that I'm going with that. I'm not necessarily going with, like, meeting Mickey, although I'm sorry, if you luck out and meet Steamboat Willie, that's freaking cool.
Hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
But, like, you do have to wait in, like, a ridiculous lineup to do that, and you might meet him or you might not. But, like, that's a really awesome opportunity. But it's just that, like, the chance of getting to see these little kids live in that world is pretty awesome.
If that's what it actually was,
yeah,
then that would be good.
And every once in a while you get to see
Toontown should be immersing yourself in toons.
I think
like watch Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yes.
That's fine.
Yes.
Mickey's Toontown. Nah.
Well, that's because it needs so much love.
Yeah.
But yeah, like because I got to experience when it first opened, I get to remember that, and I think that colors my perception of it.
Possibly.
So anyway, seeing that is actually my favorite thing about Toontown.
Okay. I think we spent enough time.
Yes,
on
with the Toontown that needs work. Okay. Let's go from one of the worst lands to one of the best, in my opinion. New Orleans Square. Oh, my God.
It's got the best food. It's got the
my
best
God.
Rides.
I know. Okay.
This was a tough one.
This was so tough, and I'm so mad I have to go first. I had to change my answer 3 times, but at the end of the day, I said I had 2 favorite rides, and one of my favorite rides is a New Orleans Square, and it's Pirates. I have to go Pirates of the Caribbean. Oh. Are we going to agree again?
I was really hoping you were choosing something else.
You were hoping I was choosing Haunted Mansion, weren't you?
Because
that's such a good ride. New Orleans Square is amazing.
It is. It is.
For such a small land. How they have so much awesome crammed in such small space. But I've got to go Pirates. That is, not only is it the last attraction Walt worked on, which has, like, if you want to talk Disneyland as being the ultimate, Walt, that's it. Holy theming. Which is the most important thing to me. And there's something about a water ride I just love.
Well, it's kind of a water ride.
It kind of is. But I also have absolute love. I have 2 distinct memories on this ride, which make it for me. The first one was when I was there and I was 6 years old. And I was convinced that my parents were trying to trick me onto going to Splash Mountain, which I was terrified of. Never mind, it became one of my favorite rides later. And so knowing that there was water on this ride, I was not sure. And I was terrified of, like, the skeleton and everything like that. And then I ended up loving Pirates of the Caribbean. And then my second most favorite memory was when you and I were in Disneyland. We were the last people on Pirates at closing one night.
Midnight.
And we were the ones where they were closing the rope. And you know how, like, if you're in line and they saw us coming, and we didn't think we were going to make it because we just left Haunted Mansion, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they saw us coming and she stopped and she motioned us on. And then she closed right behind us. We were the very last people, and we were in the back of the very last boat. I think it was like one couple, like, way in front of us or something. And just, so you had the ride to yourself. Man, that was cool.
So I was really hoping you were going to choose Haunted Mansion.
Which I also love.
I was really hoping, because I was torn as well. But, I mean, Pirates.
Mm-hmm. I know.
It's even referenced in Jurassic Park.
Right? Incorrectly referenced.
Well, yes. Yeah, the dates are a little wrong. But the pirates don't eat the tourists, okay?
Okay, the pirates don't eat the tourists.
No. It's got great atmosphere.
Yes.
It's quick loading.
Oh, my God.
That line is fantastic.
It looks terrible, but yeah. You're moving the whole time.
And you know what? It inspired a pretty cool movie.
It really did.
At least the first one. The other ones don't exist.
You know what? I still think they're fun, but anyway. But the first movie was like...
Yeah, the first movie's fantastic.
Groundbreaking.
I could take or leave the Johnny Depp addition to the ride.
Yeah.
But it's not that intrusive, so, you know.
And all the changes with, like, the pirates chasing the women and the food and stuff like that is an interesting conversation for another time.
And it is pretty cool that you get to float by the Blue Bayou restaurant.
Right.
I think that's just... next level park immersion.
Right? And I almost put Blue Bayou Restaurant. I almost put Blue Bayou Restaurant on my favorite for New Orleans Square because there's just so much good stuff in that land. I hope we never have to do ranking our favorite lands because this would be really hard.
Yeah.
New Orleans Square would be pretty high.
Another episode for another day.
Right. Okay, so now's a really tough one.
Mm.
So we agree on several here. We agree on Pirates as well.
Yeah.
So good. That's pretty fair. We got to move to Star Wars, which I know this is a tough one. Galaxy's Edge. Okay. And this one you're going to start with. And this one is especially significant because we've never been.
Well... we've never been.
We're going to go to Star Wars Galaxy's Edge.
I've only been to Disneyland once. Yes. And obviously, Star Wars Galaxy's Edge did not exist then.
We had our bookings for all the Star Wars experiences. And
all our reservations.
And COVID.
I was going to build a lightsaber.
I was going to build a droid. I have a name picked out and everything. We had cantina reservations, everything. So we are basing this based on the countless YouTube videos we've watched.
Lots of YouTube videos.
And all the research we've done. So you can feel free to tell us we are wrong about this. Okay. So I picked, instead I kind of based mine on what I was most, like what I most appreciated in the videos and what I was most looking
for. I think it's
to.
My turn
but
first.
But it is your turn to go first.
Yeah, okay. So you just go hold ahead. Your horses. Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. This land is kind of something that I fantasized about since I was a 5-year-old kid watching Star Wars. It's an immersive trip to the galaxies of Star Wars. Like, you're supposed to be going to a planet that exists in the same universe that Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker and Baby Yoda exist in. And they do a pretty fantastic job of it. So that's what I'm going with. The complete immersion that they give you by walking into Batuu. They have their own language. You say bright suns,
bright suns.
To say hello. And it kind of brings a tear to my eye, actually.
Yeah.
And it also kind of disappoints me because they, from what I hear, they backed away from that immersion a little bit with some budget cuts. But they still get there pretty well with those stormtroopers walking around and stopping tourists with their video cameras and asking them if they're resistance spies.
Oh, yes.
We'll get into that time period issue later. And even the merchandise is designed to look like it's crafted by local merchants and stuff like that. That is fantastic, and they need to take that to 11, as far as I'm concerned.
As far as I'm concerned, maybe the one saving grace that you should think, which is a good thing they didn't, is can you imagine how much I would spend there? I would buy all the things.
I might buy more.
That's true. I've seen the lightsabers.
You've also seen my Star Wars collection.
I've seen your Star Wars collection. Maybe one day we'll add YouTube to this and everyone else can see your crazy Star Wars collection. Holy. So you will laugh. I wrote immersive experience.
Oh my god.
But I have another little detail. There's something very specific I saw in many of the videos, actually, that we've watched of Galaxy's Edge that I was just like, that to me, like, said everything about the land. And there was more than one video where we saw people standing in front of the Millennium Falcon, grown men, you know exactly what I'm about to say, grown men with lightsabers they've built, whose kids were coming to stand with them, and they shoo them away. Because for them, this is something that they have always wanted to immerse themselves in. And kids can have fun there, but it's not, we're going to cater to the kids. We're going to cater to a full experience. We're going to cater to that immersive experience. And we're going to cater to this fact that you can see the freaking Millennium Falcon. All right. And you can, like, sit there where they played, like, chess and they played
Sabacc.
Yeah, exactly. And you can, you know, have a stormtrooper talk to you when they see you with a cell phone. And, like, that experience. But the fact, just the simple fact that seeing these grown adults get to live out this fantasy where you have these adults like posing with lightsabers, it's like, okay, go away, little kid. Like, child of mine, you get to pose for pictures in every other corner of this park. This one's mine.
Yeah, it appeals to that inner child.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
Everyone that's around now that's going to Disney was a child
100%
during some point of Star Wars existence.
Exactly. Oh, totally, exactly. And, you know, it brings a tear to my eye to see, like, these little girls dressed like Rey and stuff like that who get to
that's
see
fantastic.
Her. Oh, my God, that's so fantastic. And, I totally appreciate them, things like that. But just as much, I appreciate seeing the adults who are like, I get to do this, like, right? And so for me, that's the number one thing. It's just getting to see these adults who are like, you know what? I don't care if I'm, you know, in my 40s or my 50s or whatever. Yeah, I want a, I don't know, Chewbacca doll. or whatever. I get to do that. I get to sit in that seat and pilot the Millennium Falcon like I've wanted to since I was like 7 years old. Like, that's it.
Yep. No, I can't wait to go.
Yeah. So good. Okay. So that was our focus for today. Just to wrap up, let's talk trivia.
Okay. Well, so last week
I asked you a question.
You asked me a question.
All right. And I asked you a question. The question was, there is a classic animated Disney film where the villain is so terrifying, you don't even get to see that villain throughout the whole movie. And you made a guess.
And this is my guess. Snow White, even though the Evil Queen is in it. But, like, I don't know, you're going to, like, go off the page and say that the real villain is, like, the patriarchy or something.
And in case you were wondering, your guess was incorrect.
I really thought it was the patriarchy.
It was not the patriarchy, although I could probably go on a rant about that for a while.
She is, by the way, an English teacher.
Yeah, it's a thing.
If that wasn't obvious before. But.
Right. It was probably a little obvious before. Let's talk symbolism next, right? Mm. But actually, it was Bambi.
Duh. See, my second guess that I mentioned was Fox and the Hound, which is kind of similar to actually.
You're on the right themes there.
Yeah, yeah. Man versus nature, all right, that, let's go, all let's that nonsense. Like
conflict.
But this means
I'm so scared.
It's my turn to ask some trivia.
I'm so scared.
And I actually prepared this time.
Oh, no.
So here we go.
Okay, I'm ready.
I got two questions
for
you.
Oh, no, that's worse.
Two questions.
Twice the wrong.
Well, we'll see. So, in the the inspiration of Halloween.
Okay.
We're going to focus on the Haunted Mansion first.
Okay.
And
please don't tell me this is something I should know, but I'm going to get wrong.
You probably should know this, but
that's even worse.
What shape does the Haunted Mansion track make?
It's a character. Is it Goofy or Donald? Goofy or Donald? I think it's Goofy. I think it's Goofy's head.
I guess we'll have to find out next week.
It's something like that, though. Or maybe it's Mickey. No, it's Goofy. I'm going with Goofy's head.
Final answer,
Goofy's head.
Let us know what you think.
Yeah, I'm going with Goofy's head. Okay.
Second question.
Oh, no.
This one's a little more obscure.
Oh, that's so much worse. Okay.
And something physically in the park.
Oh, okay.
What is the smallest hidden Mickey in Disneyland?
You have been teasing me knowing this for months.
Where is it?
I don't know. Okay. Smallest hidden Mickey in Disneyland Park. I think I know the biggest, but I really don't know the smallest, but I'm going to make a guess.
I'll let you guess the land that it's in.
Okay.
Since you don't actually know where it is.
I really don't.
Yeah.
And I know you know before our trip that we were supposed to take in April.
I was going
to
take you there.
You refused to tell me. You were just going to take me and show me. Okay, so I have to guess. Smallest. I know there are some hidden Mickeys that are in, like, lighting fixtures. I really don't know. What if it was in a lighting fixture in, like, Main Street, USA?
Hmm. Interesting. What do you think?
Okay.
Let us know in the comments.
Ugh. Yes, you can tell me exactly how wrong I am about. Stop nodding your head. That's not helpful.
No spoilers.
No. Okay. Please let us know. Feel free to comment on any of our social media platforms.
Let us know what you liked, what you didn't like, except say that part a little quieter because we have feelings.
Yeah, and we're Canadian, so we're super sensitive about our feelings.
Sorry.
So that is our show for today. So the music you heard at the top of the show is by L. Mule. Our website links to all of his work, including his new album, and check him out on Instagram and Facebook. And speaking of social media, where you can also tell us about your ideas about our trivia answers and make fun of me a little bit for getting them wrong. Please visit our website at disneya.wixsite.com/podcast, Instagram at disneya.podcast, Facebook at disneya, and Twitter at disneya1. We'd love to hear from you. And you can also find us on and our last episode, as well as this one, and future episodes on all of your favorite streaming platforms. If you know someone who might like this podcast, be sure to recommend Disney A to them. And join us next episode. We are going to chat about Canadian Thanksgiving.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's Thanksgiving time. Turkey time. So I'm Krista.
And I'm Brandon.
And until the next adventure, TTFN, ta-ta for now. Thanks for listening to Disney A.